The following is audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you would like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.
Good morning. You all do that quite well. Thank you. You know, it's interesting. We sing about this being a holy place. So take your shoes off. No, it's rather interesting. When Moses approaches that burning bush, God says, take your sandals off. And I don't know quite what to mean by think of all that. But what makes this place holy is that the Holy Spirit dwells within us as believers. You see, our bodies now are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he has promised, as we just were singing, that where two or three of us gather in his name, he's here with us. And so that's the uniqueness. That's the holiness of a gathering like this. And it's such a blessing to be with those, the scripture says, like precious faith. I thank you for your generosity. That parking lot's over $200,000 to fix. But because you've been so generous, we can do it this year. So thank you. I hope you really enjoy it a lot. I would much rather invest the money in other ways, but kind of had to be. You know, our church has been in existence since 1880. And it is by the free will offerings of God's people that this place still stands. Hallelujah. Thank you for being so generous. And it was great for Jeff today to report that even more came in for the students than we had originally thought the case. So again, I just want to thank you. Our ushers are going to come forward. We're going to have the morning offerings. Then we'll be diving into Scripture today. Dear Fathers, we bow before you. We thank you that you're a God who knows our needs and cares for us. We praise you, Lord. Everything we ever call ours or mine is really yours. You entrusted it to us. We're accountable. And Lord, we decide in our hearts what to give, and so we don't give under compulsion. We give cheerfully as an act of worship. And I would just ask, Lord, that you would bless every gift and help us, Lord, to wisely invest it in the work that will spread the good news that Jesus is our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. We're going to start a new series. We're not going to be in Mark anymore. I know it's kind of weird. We've been there for a long time. Our new series is going to be called Sheep and Our Shepherd, and is going to be really a look at leadership as it's described in these terms. I've only known one shepherd in my whole life, and I visited him a few times, asked a few questions about sheep, but it is a common picture in Scripture, so I think we'll benefit from our examination of it. Our memory verses for this month are going to be from Psalm 23, which I think many of us have probably memorized, so it'll be good for us, and it's a wonderful, wonderful psalm. And I realize, like I said, it's an old picture, but I think it's well worth our investigation and our time. I'd like to recommend a book for you. The title is going to be Our Providing Shepherd Today. By Philip Keller. I don't know if you know this man. He wrote a book in 1970 called A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. And I've been rereading it this past week. If you can get a copy, I would encourage you to do it. I have a large print copy, which is nice at my age. I can read it easier. But I have really been thrilled as I have listened to a man who was a shepherd himself talk about the psalm. David wrote it, and he was a shepherd, as we well know. As the shepherd, he provides for us. I often say, I heard the preacher say it years ago, and I never forgot it. The most important word is the fourth word. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And see, that's the beauty. That we can learn to be content under the shepherding of the Lord, confident that he will meet our needs. We can lay down in green pastures in peace. Sheep don't like to lay down. They're nervous creatures. They run around a lot. They get spooked by the strangest things. We can be like that. The pastures and the quiet waters are all the responsibility of the shepherd to provide. If a shepherd is negligent, the sheep don't have a nice pasture. They don't have good drinking water. And it's all the responsibility of the shepherd to provide this. In fact, Keller in his book says, you know, he had a sheep pen, and then his neighbor had some sheep, and his neighbor was rather neglectful. Kind of put them out in the pasture and let them run wild. And he said, my pasture was green and luscious, and he'd get his sheep up early so they could eat the grass with dew in it. And, you know, he just took care of them constantly. And he said, I used to think the poor little sheep that were, you know, rather thin and didn't look too well on the other side must look over the fence and go, man, I wish we could be in that pasture. Listen, our Lord provides the best pasture ever. Understand, He will provide. And He is a wonderful, wonderful pasture. He revives our souls. That's the domain where He really works, isn't it? That hidden part of us that nobody can really see but is very real and very alive. It's there that He restores, revives, renews the soul. And He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now this week, I promise I'm going to send you some encouragograms, and it's going to be all about that verse. We're going to explore that verse, and I would encourage you. I hope if you're not on our list, please get on the list. That's a way that we just try to touch your life, and we're going to be using Psalm 23, and particularly the verse on God leading us, because sheep must follow their shepherd. And shepherds will lead their sheep constantly because they move them from one pasture to another. Sheep are so dumb. They just eat grass all the way down to the roots. They'll just turn it into a desert if you don't keep them moving. Hallelujah. Our God leads us. And we're going to learn that along the way this month. All this kind of comes from what we learned in Mark, that the Lord, the Son of Man, didn't come to be served, but to serve. Which is a word that means to wait on others, to make sacrifices if necessary. And of course, He makes the ultimate sacrifice at the cross, and He's a ransom for many. In the Old Testament, I found this very interesting. The word shepherd is used to describe kings, prophets, and priests. So basically, the application of what we're investigating this month applies very broadly. Anyone who is in leadership, anyone, should lead like a shepherd. So we're going to talk about teachers and parents, politicians, probably. You see, it's all there in the one word, shepherd. And it's such a prominent word. In fact, you remember that David was a shepherd. He wrote the Psalm 23. Moses was a shepherd. It's kind of interesting. Moses is in Egypt. He's sent away for 40 years to be a shepherd. And then he comes back. Yeah, very interesting. And why did God do that? Well, there's a lot to be learned as a shepherd dealing with sheep about leading people. The term shepherd, the title shepherd, appears 160 times in the Old Testament, and it is a full-time job. It requires all your attention and energy to be a shepherd. You got to watch the flock. They're tough to watch. They're like herding cats sometimes, right? You got to protect them. You remember David killed a lion and a bear protecting his flock. They need to be fed. They need to be cared for when they're ill. Bottom line is they require a lot of attention. And it's very interesting. The psalmist celebrates David as their shepherd king, their servant leader. He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens, from tending the sheep. He brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. So it's a very appropriate term, and it's a very appropriate subject for us to consider for this month. And today we're turning to the book of Ezekiel. Now Ezekiel's in the Old Testament. He's a major prophet in the Old Testament. And we're going to turn to Ezekiel 34. So if you have your Bible, please turn there or look it up on your phone, however you're reading the scriptures today. Now, Ezekiel is writing to people who went into exile. They were carried off, conquered by the Babylonians, and carried off into exile. And all of this, or a lot of it, is because of selfish shepherds. And that's what we're going to learn today from Ezekiel 34. In this chapter, the term used to describe God is sovereign Lord. The word sovereign is the Hebrew word Adonai, and it speaks of the one who's in control. It's a very, very strong term for God. He is in control, and he's the Lord. He is the covenantal God. That name is found 10 times in the chapter. Ezekiel was a priest, and he was a prophet as well. Like Isaiah, he ministered in the same season, the 6th and 7th century BC. He probably, from what we know, reading his letter here, that he actually was on duty as a prophet from 593 to 571 BC. And yes, he, along with the others, was carried off into exile. So some of it he's writing while he's in exile in Babylon to those who are in exile. And that was in 597 BC, the year I graduated from high school. So, you know, Ezekiel 22, he begins to talk about the shepherds, but it's in 34 that he really directly starts addressing corrupt, selfish shepherds. And this is timely for us when we think about it. Before we launch into the good shepherd and the great shepherd and the chief shepherd, Jesus, we're going to look at a very sobering picture of those who failed as leaders over the nation. So, we begin in verse 34. God exposes their exploitation. The word of the Lord came to me. Underline that. This isn't just Ezekiel, you know, has some thoughts, writes a self-help book. Uh-uh. He's a prophet. What he is writing is the very word of the Lord. That is an extremely important phrase. It appears again and again and again, 59 times in this letter. The word of the Lord came to me. The word of the Lord came to me. He calls himself the Son of Man. Son of Man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy. See, it's the duty of a prophet. He is speaking the very word of God. And he uses the title Son of Man to describe himself 93 times. See, it's a very popular title he uses. I want you to understand, he is a mouthpiece for God. That's why it's so serious what he has to say to the leaders of his generation in Israel. Because the people of Israel are the flock of the Lord. And they were responsible. And they acted irresponsibly. They care only for themselves. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe. An interjection. Strong. Woe to you shepherds of Israel who only take care of yourselves. The verb to take care is the word shepherd. It's the verbal form of the word. They only shepherd themselves. Only concerned about meeting their own needs. Taking care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. My, that is, what an indictment that is. And they were fat. Like, remember Eli in the Old Testament? A leader, he was grossly fat because he's just feeding himself. They're exploiting the flock. Not only that, verse 4, he tells us that they are neglecting the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So all the duties of a shepherd that are outlined there are quite common, understood. When the sheep is sick, they need to be cared for. They might have parasites, they might have bugs, you know, there's disease. And they need to be searched for when they run off because they tend to do that. But they're doing none of this. In fact, at the end of the verse, probably the climax, you have ruled them, you've domesticated them, you've ruled them harshly and brutally. Wow, what an indictment. You've ruled with force and violence. In fact, the same word is used in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 13 to describe the way the Egyptians persecuted the Hebrews as slaves in Egypt. These shepherds in Ezekiel's day are treating people like they were slaves. Wow. That is shocking, isn't it? They're shepherds. They were appointed by God to lead, and yet they're taking advantage. One commentator says, if the sins of commission are bad, the sins of omission are worse. And therefore, the sheep are scattered. So, three times he talks about this. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals, the Gentile nations that defeated them. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. And I think that might be an allusion to the idolatry that these shepherds allowed them to participate in. In fact, even misled them into it. Up on the high hills, that's where they were sacrificing to false gods. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Whew, what an indictment. It's a sad commentary on selfish leadership of any kind. How many of us had a teacher we could never please? No matter what we did, it was never good enough. Some of you grew up in homes where you couldn't please your parents. Their demands were so high, you never knew. They'd change every day. You didn't know what you were doing wrong, but you knew you weren't getting it right. Some of us have bosses like that. I don't, but some people do. Politicians can be this way. You see, you can apply this in many different ways, and God is calling them out for this. He is not pleased with us. They're exploiting people. And that is what is so sobering. So he pronounces his condemnation. I want you to notice twice in these verses, verse 7 and verse 9, he tells them to listen. They're not listening. They didn't listen. Shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Again, you see that phrase? It has such authority behind it. This isn't just the words of a prophet, not just somebody who writes a commentary in the newspaper. No, no, no. This is the word of the Lord. You need to hear it, shepherds. And he reviews their faults. He makes it very clear. As surely as I live. Is our God alive today? Amen. He's always been alive. He always will be alive. You don't get away with anything. Be sure your sins will find you out, Scripture says. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, there's that word, Adonai, because my flock lacks a shepherd and so has been plundered, the enemies have stolen from them and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against you. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. When you're given a leadership position, you're accountable. It's a privilege. That's why we must serve as shepherd leaders. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. How many times has he said that? It's just so gross, so alarming. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. The word rescue is, I'm going to snatch them away. I'm literally going to just snatch them right out of that. Now, unfortunately, human leaders always disappoint us. Face it. I have disappointed you. I haven't always been the shepherd I need to be. We need to show grace to one another, don't we? We need to show grace to leaders. Particularly if the leaders want to do what's right, but sometimes we wonder. And that's the problem here. Sometimes human leaders just don't meet the expectations we expect of them. I had a wonderful father. I loved Preston Ray John. He was my dad. You know, every day he'd come home from work at 4:30. We'd get in a car. We'd walk to the Little League field, and we'd play baseball. My dad's arm would be so sore throwing balls at me. I just was the envy of every kid, man. My dad plays with me all the time. I had a wonderful dad. He loved Jesus. He directed me that way too. He wasn't too happy when I started playing golf, but that's another story. Anyway, when I was in seminary, I had to learn that I didn't have a perfect human father. Have you learned that lesson? I graduated from seminary, and it was a year and a half before I got my first church. It was such a hard time in my life. I had all the education. I felt called to do this, but no church would look at me because I was too young and inexperienced. Finally, some people took a risk in New Hampshire, and I'm so glad they did. But I remember one night, my father was just so frustrated, and I was frustrated too, and we were yelling at each other and pretty ticked. Why can't you get a job? I paid for all this education. Kind of went that way. So I left. I walked down North Fernwood Avenue. That's where I lived. You know what? I walked toward the baseball field. This is so funny, the Little League field. I was actually walking down the street, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. I looked up in the heavens, and I saw the stars. And God just impressed upon me, you only have one perfect father, and it's me in heaven. It's not right to expect human leaders to be God. They're not. And if they think they are, they really have a problem. So that's just an important lesson to learn here. And he pronounces condemnation. Well, he moves on to explain his intervention. And this is what is so incredible in the text. I pick up the reading at verse 11. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. Again, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. It's the same shepherding pastoral duty again. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them. I'll snatch them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. They went into exile. It was horrible. He says, I'm going to snatch them back. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for them and bring them back. Bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured, strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. See, that's the accountability for those who have made themselves fat by exploiting everybody else. Now, everything that he lists there that they weren't doing as corrupt shepherds, he's going to do. That's amazing. That's so comforting. We still have a shepherd. You might have the worst boss ever, but you have a shepherd. You see, no matter who is in leadership or authority above us, there's one greater. We were just singing about him on his throne. We need to remember that. What a blessing that he is going to intervene. And he is going to evaluate the flock as well, because he didn't end there. He evaluates the flock. Look at this in verse 17. Sheep have a responsibility to one another. As for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, between the rams and the goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you also trample the rest of your pasture with your feet? Are you ruining the pasture for the other sheep? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you muddy the rest with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied with your feet? You see, we have a responsibility not only as leaders, but as God's flock. And we all find disappointments in human leaders, and God's going to correct it. I love that. I can be content in that. I can't always be content with the decisions of those put above me. And you can't either. Keller in his book, he just doesn't understand. Like, he had this one sheep, a ewe, beautiful sheep, bore beautiful little sheep, but she just had a problem. She was never content. So in spite of all her attractiveness, she was restless, discontented, a fence crawler, he says. So much so, I came to call her Mrs. Gadabout. This one ewe produced more problems for me than almost all the rest of the flock combined. No matter what field or pasture the sheep were in, she would search all along the fences or shoreline. We live by the sea, looking for a loophole she could crawl through and start to feed on the other side. It was not that she lacked pasturage. My fields were my joy and delight. No sheep in the district had better grazing. With Mrs. Gadabout, it was an ingrained habit. She was simply never contented with things as they were. Often when she had forced her way through some such spot in a fence or found a way around the end of the wire at low tide on the beaches, she would end up feeding on bare, brown, burned up pasturage of the most inferior sort. But she never learned her lesson and continued to fence crawl time after time after time. Now, it would have been bad enough if she was the only one who did this. She was a sufficient problem to find her and bring her back, but further point was that she taught her lambs the same tricks. They simply followed her example and soon were skilled at escaping as their mother. Even worse, however, was the example she set for the other sheep. In a short time, she began to lead others through the same holes and over the same dangerous paths down by the sea. After putting up with her perverseness for some time, I finally came to the conclusion that to save the rest of the flock from becoming unsettled, she would have to go. Now, Keller, I tell you, he is a wonderful writer. He is a gentle writer. But sometimes he gets in your kitchen. Don't be a sheep that wants both sides. Don't have one foot in the world and one foot with the Lord. Let the Lord be your shepherd. He owns you. He paid for you. Follow him and be blessed in the green pastures that he provides. And this is such a wonderful blessing from Ezekiel's point of view. Remember, he's writing to people who were exiled. They would be exiled for 70 years, and all the disappointments with human leaders will be corrected. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is happening. That's going to happen. And he explains that in the last of our observations today, God reveals his redemption. And this is a beautiful, beautiful portion of Scripture. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, the leaders. Because you strove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away, I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. Now get this, here we are, verse 23. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David. Who is a descendant of David? Who is our shepherd? Jesus. Yeah, here's Ezekiel predicting the coming of Jesus. Yes, yes, that's exactly what he's doing. And he will tend them, and he will tend them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. So for the rest of our time in this series, we're going to be looking at Jesus. Ezekiel predicted it. The coming of Jesus was much greater than just the release from the exile. They did, after 70 years, get back into the land. But all the promises that are made, and you can read the rest of the chapter later, are going to be fulfilled when he comes again. Hallelujah. And he is coming again. He came the first time as a ransom, and he comes again to reign. And what a blessing that is to know and believe. He is our good shepherd, our great shepherd, our chief shepherd. Hallelujah. And when he returns, there will be justice. He will bring justice and peace to the world. What human leaders cannot do, he will do. Amen. Amen. Look at this. Here's Isaiah saying the same thing. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Yes! He will come. And when he comes, there will be the justice that we've all craved for, longed for, and been disappointed to not find. Yes, 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 1,000 times yes. And so I give you this definition. I gave this book to our leaders recently. Of course, Dr. Wiersbe wrote it. Christian leaders are people who, by faith, willingly use their character, abilities, authority, and opportunities to serve others and to help them reach their fullest potential to their benefit, the benefit of the organization, and the glory of God. We'll be talking about that some more this month. Because if you're a leader, and chances are you are a leader, you may not realize those that are looking at you as a leader. Some of you may. Strive to be a shepherd-like leader. Make the sacrifices necessary for the good of others. Think of others first. Honor others above yourself. You see, that's what Jesus would call us to do. And so I conclude by asking the question, is the Lord truly your shepherd? It's easy to sing it. It's easy to say it. But really, in the nitty-gritty of life, do you let the Lord lead? Our life group met on Friday, and one of our members said, "Dave, it's the strangest thing. The other day, I'm driving along the road, and the Lord sort of prompted me not to take a certain road. And I thought it was odd because it was a less direct route, but I followed the Lord, and after I wrestled with him a little, and I went down the other road." She found out that there had been an accident on the road she was going to take. If she had taken that road, she likely would have been in the accident. Isn't that amazing? God leads us. He guides us to good pasture. Now, sometimes there'll be an accident, and we got to deal with that. I understand that. You understand that. But he's still our good shepherd watching over us, binding up our wounds, feeding us. Oh, hallelujah. The same people that Ezekiel was writing to, Jeremiah wrote these words to. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Somebody needed that today. In fact, all of us needed it, didn't we? Huh? Because when we see corrupt leadership, it so tears us up. But there is a leader who is always faithful. He's always good. Do not miss letting him be your shepherd. It's your choice. Live it out. Trust in him. Live in the contentment that you find in following him. Dear Lord, thank you. A sobering passage of Scripture. An honest look at corrupt leadership. And Lord, we just pray that you, by your grace, will help us to be worthy leaders, living out our responsibilities as you have given them to us with Christ-like passion and power and grace and mercy and love and understanding, making sacrifices for others, yes. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus, I say, oh, please, trust him. You'll never find a shepherd or leader for your life like him. He is the Savior who can forgive you and will forgive you of all your sins and give you eternal life. And you, like us who believe, will yearn for his coming when the Prince of Peace will reign forever. In his name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you'd like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.